morning. Today is Monday, November the 13th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Chris Hartley. You almost lost your writing stick there, huh?
No, I found it. I just had to dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
Good morning. How are you?
You know, you remember the fable, right? The pea and the princess and the pea?
I don't.
The princess, a lot of mattresses, and somebody put the pea in the middle of it, and the real princess would be able to sense because she was such a sensitive da-da-da-da-da. And that's how they determined who the real princess was. Now, you got a big old pen underneath one pad. You can't find it. Even doing that. Your sensitivity might be a little bit less than a princess. That's kind of what I'm going to.
Well, that wouldn't be the first person to say that, Brian. But, hey, you know, I'm glad I found it nonetheless. And learned a new story, a new fable there. So thanks for the educational lesson this morning.
You know, isn't life about educating?
Yeah, it's constant.
Yeah, it kind of went right over you, though, didn't it? Oh, let's see if we can find our quote this morning. Liv Ullmann. The best thing that can come with success is the knowledge that it's nothing to long for.
There you go.
What is that line? Ripped from the headlines of
That's right. There were the Princess and the Pea story, I think.
I was thinking more of some of the goofiness that's coming out of that's being finally revealed.
Oh, gosh.
Out of Hollywood and. It just is mind-boggling. What do you guys have in place around the whole sexual harassment? I know the state has got stuff. I know the educational code has got stuff. I know your HR guy's got stuff. But in kind of layman terms, what process do schools have about that? Not on kids, but
internally staff. For staff. Yeah. Sure. Well, there's, you know, the required trainings for all employees to go through, and certainly management, you know, to go through. I think it's once every 2 years that you have an opportunity to refresh your understanding of the law. And, you know, certainly folks that are new to management, you know, it's a big focus area. And the key is communication and, you know, creating a workplace that it works well for everybody, you know, and being aware of your roles and moving forward with the student's best interest in mind. And it's not any different than any other organization. You know, that's a number one obligation to make sure everybody's comfortable in their workplace.
What is the county school's responsibility? I mean, you got the guys inside of Franklin School. Got it. Okay. But for those that you oversee,
sure.
Do you have responsibilities over them too, or are those district by district just like so many other things are?
The board policies are standardized, you know, really throughout the state, to be quite honest with you, with regards to the specific language of policy that's related to education code. But it's managed each district by district. So our role really at the county would be to help provide training opportunities, you know, to help connect, have a conversation with the superintendents and school leaders.
But you don't have the responsibility, legal obligation to do the follow through beyond that.
Each district.
So you just wander up and down the halls every once in a while, make sure everybody's working hard?
Not necessarily the truth. No, we check in with them and see how we can serve them. I mean, that's really what.
No, I'm in your building and down the hall.
Well, you know what? It is important to get out and move around. That's for sure. I was out the other day in the one part of the Louis Bucher Learning Teacher Center.
Is that the library?
That's the library, absolutely.
Thanks. Okay.
We call it the Herc Center.
When did it change from Ann Elliott?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But I was out there and just kind of touching base with everybody. And somebody says, what are you doing? I said, hey, I'm out superintending. You know, so I really do believe in that philosophy, to be honest with you. And it does help with employee relations. And when you talk about these types of issues, you know, it's about maintaining a good rapport with your team and being out and about and superintending or principaling or, you know, just establishing connections with your team.
What other areas are sensitive right now or higher prioritized now as far as just on the HR side of things? Are there other areas that you kind of are paying attention to a little bit more than what maybe 5-10 years ago just because things change?
Oh, absolutely. With as far as HR, you know, consistently working with your bargaining units to make sure you're comfortable with your language that you have in your CBA language, your agreements that you have is a constant goal for us. At the same time, you know, one of the things as far as HR goes and personnel departments go, what all districts and schools really throughout the state of California and in the nation are working on is recruiting good educators and finding ways to get folks to come into the profession. And that's a major focus for our personnel departments. And in fact, we just had a task force with Humboldt State teacher recruitment team that came together. And we held our first formal meeting last week there at the county office to talk about strategies on how we can increase folks coming into the teaching profession.
Now, I would have thought, of course, I don't do that regularly, but I would have thought that...
You don't regularly think that what you just said? Yeah, that's not true. Come
on. That Humboldt State, as a teaching college, with the historical roots there, that would have been, I mean, that's the core essence of what it was. Has it deviated that much from that initial mission statement so that you have to reinforce or remind them that teaching and teachers is still
right
primary?
You know, it has been an ongoing conversation, but I do say this. The administration and the staff there, the faculty of the teaching program, are very serious about meeting the needs here locally. Having the conversation be ramped up has certainly been an important issue for all of us to come together. And, you know, you're right, though. If you were to survey, you know, the number of teachers in Humboldt County, how many of them came out of Humboldt State? You're going to look at the majority of the folks. If you asked everybody to raise their hand, the room's hands are in the air. So we're engaged in a conversation about how to ramp up the efforts between Humboldt State, but also school districts and the county office. We all have an obligation to work on this initiative.
What is a percent turnover?
That depends.
Well, good. Now we'll reflect on our depending when we come back.
We'll come right back to that.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Chris, the teacher shortage to me is, I don't know if it's disturbing or just intriguingly curious.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, with all of the changes that are going on societally and with all of the uncertainty that's out there over the last 10 and 15 years, locally, you know, there's a lot of folks that come to Humboldt and you look around and you go, I could drive stakes here. I could be here.
Absolutely.
Great. And that hadn't been available for them. Now it's there. You guys are kind of running around like, turkeys without a head.
Is that anything to do with Thanksgiving?
Yeah, just a slight reference. Okay. Yeah.
Just checking.
Looking around for people who qualify and they're not pumping them out. And it's like, wait a minute. What? A break in the logic chain for me. Am I missing something?
Well, it's not just a county issue. It's state and national, you know. And so,
even more to the point.
So
then,
looking to the statistics. So since I've been having a lot of conversations on this, I've got some numbers. So I wanted to know how many people were in the credential program in the state of California over time. And so pulling on that data, there's a report that shows in 2004, now we're going to go back a few years, but there were 75,000 people in a teaching credential program in the state of California.
That means in the educational process?
Pursuing a credential. And then by 2014, that had dropped to just below 25,000. So you've got over a 10-year time span, you know, 50,000 folks less pursuing a credential. So do the math. That just compounds itself. We just have less and less folks pursuing the credential.
How many teachers are there?
I have no idea. That's a great question.
I wonder what percentage. Then the other element is the turnover.
Well, it's supply and demand, right? So yeah. The supply was going drastically down. Now, there's lots of reasons for that. The economy certainly in 07, 08 going sideways took a big hit on things like, you know, recruitment programs, state-sponsored events that attracted people into the profession, fiscal incentives, things like that. And then at the same time, districts were struggling to keep their doors open, you know.
Yeah,
and so they had to do a lot of RIF notices. And so you're sitting here going to be a teacher and you see your friends getting, you know, don't do this because I got released from my job.
Now, you know, is that true throughout the state or was that just the rural portions of the state?
No, that was throughout the state, you know, because during that time, really what the state was doing is holding off on deferring our cash payments. And so school districts were really having to go up a little bit in class size. We just didn't have the cash because the state wasn't giving it to the districts to pay the folks. And so you were getting a lot of notices. The thing is, most of those teachers came back at the start of the school year, but it was just an iffy time. So who would want to go into a profession where you're going to be struggling? But we're over that now.
And yeah, the lack in the folks in the channels.
So we're really on a resurgence of where we need to recover from that and do some creative things. So you talk about, how can we increase options for people to get a credential? That's really what we're talking about here locally.
Is it, I'm thinking now, projecting out 25, 35 years.
Okay. Yeah.
I would suspect that you don't want them all to be of the same age. Because then you're going to be going through same thing. And you lose all that institutional knowledge at once.
Well, yeah.
Is anybody looking at staggering this so you're getting some 30-year, some 40-year, some 50-year-olds that bring in a different perspective to? I mean,
that's
if you're looking
really
for a biology class, let's get some biologists that may want to either teach full time or teach partial.
It's a really interesting point, and actually, it would be kind of a secondary prong of getting folks into the field. So we would call that there's opportunities for people to get a credential through an internship. So, for instance, in Humboldt County, running school sites, I've hired lots of aides or paraprofessionals that actually have bachelor's degrees and in some cases master's degrees, and they turn out to be really outstanding educators. They just don't have the credential. And so with an internship model, you could actually have folks that are in our local community doing a career, but maybe they want to change to a teaching career. And so we need to have an availability for them to take credential courses online or after hours or on the weekends.
Do they need the credential?
Well, in some cases with career education, you can get waivers on that. And so, you know, we are working with the state to find all the different options on how you can get a qualified person into the classroom, but you need to make sure they actually have the paper. But there are ways to do that.
I have a bias towards the collegiate model of education. Could you just have somebody who taught one or two classes a day? Okay. Yeah, I can cut out a little earlier. I can get into work at 10:30. You know, let's say if you're a business owner, yeah, I can start my day at 10:30. That gives me, I don't know, whether it's first class or first period, second period, 0-1. I don't know,
yeah.
You know the number thing, but two classes in the morning every morning. That's what I'll give you.
Yeah, in some cases,
do you have that flexibility, or have things changed so much with some of the contractual obligations with the labor groups that you don't have what may have been available in past decades?
No, you have that flexibility. You do have to make sure the person's got the credentialing. It happens mostly in career education. So, for instance, you have somebody who's got a skill in auto mechanics or something like that.
How about
maybe
computer
tech? But really, you know, if you have a full-time teaching position, what we would prefer to do is have somebody as a full-time teacher instead of breaking that one position up into two or three different folks.
I was saying it's a way to kind of plug the gaps with some real world also.
Absolutely. If you have those kind of partial, part-time positions, that's a great way to do it.
And that would tend to come under the vocational ed or?
Generally speaking, that's where it comes in, yeah.
Boy, listen to me. I'm starting to change.
But the nice thing is, though, working with Humboldt State right now, we've got a couple of options in the works. And one is a four-year teaching program where typically now you do your degree in 4 years and you have an additional year for your credential. We're working with them right now to get a four-year program where you can get both done at the same time.
It's 8:30.
we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chris Hartley, Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Chris, before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the different approaches that are being contemplated with the educational model to get teachers back in the system. How bad is it? How bad is the teacher shortage, or qualified teacher shortage now in Humboldt County? Could you use 10, 20, 50?
You know,
what are you looking at?
It varies district by district. There are some districts, right now that are probably still trying to fill positions, you know, that they've been having somebody in there on a temporary basis since the start of the year.
Substitute teachers like what we grew up with, or something different than that?
Maybe a blend, in some cases substitute teachers, or a teacher that's in there on a waiver for their credential. So, and that's what we.
What does that mean?
That means that they're able to produce some mechanism to have a temporary credential while you're seeking a permanent position. And that's one of the areas that we're concerned about, and that's happening throughout the state. So what we have is two things. We have the number of teachers coming into the profession going down drastically, and then we have the number of folks in the classroom that are really unprepared going up. And so we have to hit both of those issues. So, for instance, retention rates. So you have somebody who isn't fully qualified, meaning they haven't gone through a good credential training program, had the experiences to hit the ground, you know, with a solid foundation. Those folks are 2 to 3 times more likely to not complete the credential program and leave the profession completely. So that just compounds the problem. So that's why here locally we're looking to try to address both the issue of let's get more folks into credential programs, like the 4-year model that I spoke about before we went on break, the internship model, which is another way to meet folks in the middle and help them earn a teaching credential, whether they're already working in a job here locally and they want to do the work after hours or on the weekend and become a teacher that way. Or, frankly, just a different internship model where they can be a student and taking courses online and doing things that are more accommodating for their schedule. But the fact is we have to try to just increase the number of qualified folks. And at the same time, we have to support the folks that are new to the teaching profession, help them with mentorship, give them guidance, really work closely with them so that they stay in the profession. We want folks to have a career in the education, not just 2 to 3 years, and they get frustrated, and then we don't want them to be set up for failure. We want to support them.
What is more challenging now, if you're looking at a person for this program? Is it grasping the base knowledge of whatever the topic area or instruction area is, or is it the interpersonal communications, either peer-to-peer or teacher-to-student?
You know, that's an easy one. It's definitely the interpersonal relation piece. It's being able to have a classroom management process that works for you as an individual. You know, there were times when I was teaching, I hate to admit it, but I wasn't far ahead of the kids as far as content goes. You know, but I was focused on a good lesson, managing my class, being able to get along with the kids, create an environment where they wanted to learn and gave me an opportunity to teach. That's key. You know, I have to have an opportunity to teach, and you have to have an opportunity to learn. In order to do that, you have to be able to, you know, create a classroom environment that allows that. And that's the key. I mean, that really is. And that comes with practice and support and trying some things, and it doesn't work. Okay, that blew up. Let me try this differently tomorrow. And everybody has to find their own style. There's no one book you can read that tells you how you're going to manage your class. Everybody's personality is different. But there are some definite, you know, theories and some practices that work.
Nerf guns
Well, I don't know. Yeah, there you go. You might get away with that one.
Yeah, well, particularly with my aim. Yeah, I've probably taken out lights as long as you're in front of me and down, no problem.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, you know, we talk about, you know, when people like ask teachers, well, what are your rules? And that to me, you know, is one of the biggest mistakes folks make. It's not necessarily about rules. It's about procedures and routines. And like, this is our classroom. This is just how we do things when you come to this class. And having a teacher that's able to convey that, and students, they will buy into that. They get that. But rules are meant to be broken. So for people that focus on that kind of stuff, typically, you know, it doesn't work out very well.
Suffer the ills of, yeah.
Right.
Well, I would think a lot of it is process-based.
Absolutely.
Whatever your process is. But with some of the law changes, case law primarily, I would imagine, that have come into play monthly, certainly at least annually, of what you can and what you can't, what's permitted, what isn't permitted, what you can say, what you can't say. It would seem like you're dancing the dance more than you are teaching the subject matter. Is that kind of a jaundiced perspective?
You know, I don't think that's necessarily the reality in the classroom. You know, the policies and the bureaucracy and the changing political climates or whatever, that certainly has an impact on organizations as a whole. But really in the classroom environment and the teacher-to-student relationship and what teachers are able to do in their classes, I personally don't see that that's had a big impact at this point. I think there's a lot of autonomy in teaching. And a good district, a good school will allow for a lot of that autonomy and professionalism in that way. It's a terrific field to get into because of that. You know, there's school-based goals and things that you're aligned to and, you know, missions that you're trying to accomplish. But at the end of the day, you know, the teachers have a lot of choice in how they want to deliver their curriculum. Our biggest constraint would be from the state level as far as standardized testing and teaching to, you know, specific state standards. Those are probably some of our biggest, you know, I guess you could say limitations as to what you can do or can't do.
I would suspect, though, that most of those should be embedded into the classroom content anyway.
Yeah, they are, but if they change them, then you got to re-embed them again. So, you know, and that's, we're making adjustments to, you know, things like Common Core and things like that. But again, teacher autonomy is a good thing, and, you know, I still think it's alive and well.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47. We are back to Talk Shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Chris, the challenge in getting more into the educational profession, is it just teachers, or do you need more administrators and more finance folks?
Oh,
and
man.
More, just more.
Thanks for asking. Yeah, we need more of everything. And so particularly...
I didn't say more superintendents, did I?
You said you did. More administrators, which I appreciated that.
I was saying principals, but that's okay.
Well, we do need across the board in education more folks, particularly in the areas of special education and positions like speech-language pathologists, psychologists, career education folks, even teachers in the music area and art areas are harder to find. Paraprofessionals, bus drivers, you name it, you know, there's a shortage in kind of just the general profession. And then when I'm talking to folks that are interested in teaching, you know, I try to remind them that you might go in as a teacher, but the field has got so many different educational, roles. So you might start like a teacher like I did, and then through time you kind of go into different jobs, and it's like, wow, I really enjoy this. This is something I didn't plan on doing, but I didn't even know it really existed as an opportunity. I know lots of colleagues who began teaching, and they evolve into being an academic counselor maybe for the last 10, 15 years.
That's
of their
what I was
career.
Thinking.
It's a really great profession.
Are there paths at the collegiate model to go into, let's say, educational administration?
Yeah.
You're not in the classroom.
Right.
I know there's probably a ton of folks that could be really good administrators. You don't, they wouldn't really function well in a classroom setting. Or like you were talking about, some of the, you know, a counselor. Well, okay, one-on-one, you betcha. As
right,
a career, you know, give me a herd of 30. No, we're not going to do it that way. I mean, so can you specialize before you get into the classroom in that educational process?
Yeah. You can actually go in and go in right as a counselor, academic counselor. You get your, it's called a pupil services credential, and not, never go into the classroom at all. That certainly was one avenue. The same thing for, like I was saying, with speech language pathologists and the psychologists and occupational therapists. We provide all these different functions for our students, and so you can go directly into those jobs. But a lot of times people go into teaching, have a successful career there, and go, you know, I want to try something different. And they have all of these different avenues. They just have to go get some additional credentialing work. But it's a great career, you know, as far as options go and different ways to serve students.
So if folks are interested, do they go to, like, the educational department at Humboldt? Do they give your office a ring? Where do you make that
first? They certainly can reach out to Humboldt State. They can contact us at the county office at 445-7031. And give us a call, and we'll make sure they get the right connections. But we will do a lot of local marketing and be talking about the good things that we have coming up in the media here very shortly. So thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Mm-hmm. See everybody tomorrow.